Hello, and thank you for listening to Is There a Way Out? I'm your host, Aries Winans. Today, I'm just going to briefly discuss one simple topic. Love is. As I sit here and think about many times over my life where I was up and down and in and out of love with people, with myself, with things. You know, my favorite color is pink. 2 years later, it's red. The next day, maybe green. Then it's yellow. Or today, my best friend is her. Then it's like, oh, well, we're not friends anymore because she X, Y, and Z. Or it could be something else. My favorite food changes. Favorite candy changes. Constantly changing. But on a deeper note, I think about the times where I was desperately seeking to be fulfilled, to be whole, to be accepted. And specifically when I was a teenager, going from person to person, relationship to relationship, just looking for someone to accept me. And this, it really does go beyond sexual orientation. But for the sake of the topic, it was about my sexual orientation as well. I was grasping for the air, just desperately searching and seeking and hoping that I would grab someone to love me. And I thought that, you know, if I changed my hair, if I changed the way that I dressed, if I changed the way that I talked and I walked, changed the perfume that I wore, you know, start smoking a little bit, start being a little more promiscuous, a little more wild, dance a little more provocatively, you know, doing things to change who I am to maybe get the attention of a certain group of people or him or her or even my mother or father. I wanted attention because I thought that these things would help me to get what it was that I was lacking. But at that time, I didn't realize that what I was lacking was love. I thought it was something else. So I did whatever was needed to get what I felt I needed. But again, this goes beyond sexual orientation because what I really needed, I didn't know that I needed, and I kept going from person to person broken. And with each new person, I became more broken and more numb, desensitized to things that are right. And just because I just wanted to be fulfilled, it was like I was an empty well. I was looking for something to fill me up. And my thirst for love, for acceptance, it was never quenched. I always left each relationship dry and broken and thirsty and still wanting. And even in those relationships that I had, they left me empty. There was still something missing. I still felt like I was lacking something huge. And just like, this ain't it. I can recount many times sitting with young women and even some young men that share their stories with me, and they're very tearful. And I can hear the heartache through their stories, sharing of how, you know, their childhood may have been, some may have been pleasant. Everyone's story is different, but some childhoods may have been pleasant. Some may have been broken or laced with all types of unfortunate life events that were beyond their control because they were a child. Some of these people were touched. Some of them were even abused by their parents. And then it caused them to run to the arms of whoever open them to them, whoever was willing to say, I'll take you in, I love you, you don't deserve that, come this way. And they ran. And for those specific few, it was in the arms of someone of the same sex, and they felt like that was love, because for them that was love. That person was showing them that I care about you and I can help you. Let me console you. And these are the things that we look for from those who protect us, those who are around us in our immediate circles, we look for that from our mother and father. And I can relate because I did the same. I looked to be nurtured and hugged and affirmed by my mother and protected by my father. But those things didn't happen. And so growing up, I was looking for these things that I was lacking, things that we should naturally get. And for some people, this is their same story. I remember so many times just wanting to embrace these people, the young women and the young men who I was talking to, sharing their stories of why they run this way, why they decided to fall in love, what attracts them to the same sex, what causes them to love like this, even though they still feel something is missing, but they're going to go for it anyway because they hope that'll work. They hope it works for them. They go in blindly, not knowing if this is going to work out for their benefit, but somehow in the midst of that relationship, they got wounded even more. Their broken heart was placed in the hands of another who also has a broken heart. And it just continues to clash and bang and hurt. And they hurt each other and they bruise each other and they leave more broken than they came in. And that hurts my heart on so many levels because I can relate to giving my heart to someone because they said, I care about you. I love you. You can trust me. I'm here for you. And they try to mentor or show you different things that you should do, help you. But on the flip side, if they're not whole, that means something's lacking in them as well. And that was the case with me. It wasn't a relationship at first. She was my mentor. And I trusted her with intimate details of my life. I shared my brokenness with her. I shared my past, being a former bisexual at that time, and just helping her to understand who I was and where I was at the point where I met her. Sharing my vulnerability, which was at that time not difficult because I was an open book, but I didn't know that one of the biggest webs of my life was being and wrapped around me. I was being wrapped in this web and didn't even know it. I didn't know that she too was broken. I didn't know that she too was lacking something huge. I thought that her relationship with God was strong because she was a minister in the church. I had no idea. I thought because she was married and enjoying her life as a successful businesswoman and minister of the gospel and dancing for the Lord, I thought, that surely this was a God thing. Surely I can trust her. And I went in blindly because I was hoping that this would work. I was hoping this relationship was good, even though I knew in myself that the Lord was telling me no. But I hypothetically smushed God in the face. Side note, that's highly disrespectful. But that's what I did at that time, because I wanted what I wanted so bad that I disregarded the one who loves me the most to chase after someone who I thought could probably love me more. So I went after her and I did whatever she asked me to do because, oh, she loves Aries. She is so for me. She's so on my side. She wants me to succeed. She's going to help me do this, that, and the other. She's going to help me with my relationships. And it started out great, but it quickly turned. And then she came on to me in one of the worst ways. I was seduced, and then I was quickly turned back into bisexuality, which is something that I vow I would not do again. But because we had already created this relationship and bond, so to speak, I was already in it. There's so many layers to this story, but I just got to share that, that's where I was. and just understanding that's not what love was. But that was what I interpreted it to be. And that's what I made it to be. I made my own definition of love. So now when I hear love is love, I instantly think, what in the world is that? What does that mean? Love is love. What? So I thought about that. And I interpret it to mean, basically, love is whatever you perceive it to be. It's your definition. You define what love is for you. As crazy as this may sound, I'm going to say it anyway. So I look at it, love is love. It's like, okay, well, today, I love man. Tomorrow, I'm going to love a woman. And that's cool. And then the next day, I'm going to love both. And then after that, I think next week, I'm going to try loving someone that's binary or gender fluid. And then I'm going to love the trees next. Then I'm going to love, check this, the horse, the goat, the cat, and the dog. And then I think I'm going to go back to loving man again. But if you were to find someone that says this is what they do, this is their definition of love and liberty and freedom, then it's like, well, who are you to challenge what their definition of love is? Because love is love, right? Doesn't that sound crazy? But I stopped to think about it. In the beginning, I said that I felt like I was the one running, grasping the air, just trying to reach for someone who would love me, desperately, desperately looking for someone who would love me. I could just see myself even now running through open fields with eyes full of tears, desperately winded, running, chasing after something, someone, anything that would love me and accept me for me and embrace me and help me to heal, because I didn't even know that I was broken and not whole. That's a different story, but I'm looking, and whoever falls into that place where I'm grasping, if I happen to touch someone or hug someone that comes in my space, oh, I'm going to love you and I'm going to give you all of me because you're here. You came into my space. So I'm going to give you all of my heart, all of my body, all of my mind, all of my energy, everything that I have until there's nothing left. And then when that person's gone, here I go again. On the run, looking for the next something or someone to love me. But there is one, the same one who, before I was even born, died for me because he knew that one day I would be looking for a savior. I would be looking for someone to love me. And God sent his only son, Jesus, to die for me. And his arms were stretched wide and they never closed. While I'm looking for someone, his arms are still open to me. Sitting and thinking about that kind of love, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It started out by saying, for God so loved me. That he gave? What? Just thinking about that really had me dumbfounded and still does. I'll never be able to relate to that type of sacrificial love because it's only something that God could do. You know, his love is so incredible. And even reading the word, it's something that a lot of people don't want to hear. We don't want to hear God loves you because for us, it's not enough. But it's not enough unless you try. The word says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I didn't want to taste and see that the Lord was good. I wanted to taste all the lust and the him and the her and everything else. But those things still kept me wanting. Those things still left me empty. As much as I wanted with all my heart for these things to work, in every instance, they did not. I remember when I was I said in my heart that as an avid bisexual, like everybody in the world, every woman needs to try this. And I made it my business to make sure that they did. At that time, that was my mission. I felt like that was my life's purpose, was to make sure that every woman at least gets to try being with another woman. I didn't care what the cost was. I'm telling y'all about me. That was my mindset. I was out there. And with each person that I laid with, I didn't care about them. I didn't care about myself. It wasn't even a thought. It was more like a job. It was like, get in, do the business, get out. What's next? I'm going to the mall, get my nails done, going to get my hair done, but I got homework, go to school, get out of school, go do the next thing. And it was nothing to me. I became numb and desensitized to it all. It was just something to do. I wasn't even looking for love at that point because I figured this is what's fulfilling me. I felt fulfilled in my mind with the sex. But it didn't keep me. It still wasn't enough. I didn't realize that God, even at that time, was still drawing me with his love and kindness. And I was like, what? What kind of love is this? You see the dirt that I'm doing. You see what I'm doing. Sometimes even call his name while doing it. Yes, y'all. It was bad. And I'm just telling you the truth. That's where I was. But to know that he says, with love and kindness have I drawn you. He drew me to himself with his love and kindness, with everlasting love. Everlasting love? You love me with an everlasting love, God. That means no matter what I do, you will still love me. After hearing people say, I'm no longer in love with you, my heart has changed, I've fallen out of love with you, God said that I've loved you with an everlasting love. What kind of love? That's the kind of love that I want. That's the kind of love that I finally turned to and surrendered to. And I thought to myself, why didn't I do this sooner? I could have saved myself a lot of heartache. But I don't really regret what I went through because it taught me. I learned from it. And I know to not go back, but it taught me to appreciate God's love. His love is authentic and it doesn't change. He doesn't change. His word says that I am God and I do not change. So even though, you know, we deal with people, we're in this earth dealing with humans. People are fickle. They change. One day they love you. Tomorrow they don't. The next day they don't know. The next day they're head over heels in love with you. And then we're back to square one. They're fickle again. They don't know. They're thinking about it. You know, the relationship status is complicated. All these things. But with God, we won't have that. If there's any change at any point, it's not him, it's us. He's not rejected us. Oftentimes we rejected him. I know that was my story. I rejected him. I only wanted his hand. I only wanted what he could give me. Not his heart. That sounds a lot like the relationships that I was in. Well, they may have really only been looking for my hand, what I could give them, whether it be sex or time, companionship, affirmation, encouragement, motivation, whatever it was that they were looking for me to give them. They weren't looking for my heart. And even if, because in a few of those relationships, they were looking for my heart. They couldn't, it just wouldn't work. It wouldn't work because that's not the love that God has prescribed for us. There was a God-sized hole in all of us, that void that only God can fill. No one else can do that for us. And we try to fill it with earthly pleasures, with things, with stuff. And it doesn't last and it doesn't work, but I want to leave you with this. just the true definition of what love is, according to 1 Corinthians 13. And this is what I found to be true. And every time I felt like, God, there's, you know, this one loves me, that loves me. After going through all of that, I was drawn to the word and having to learn what the real definition of love is that has never changed. Love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful, and it is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not provoked nor overly sensitive and easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, endures all things without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades nor ends. And I end with that. But that is the true definition of what love is. And I can look at each passage of scripture within 1 Corinthians 13 and break down what I found in each of my encounters with people on both sexes, male and female, each relationship, each one night stand, each time, each person, each thing, to say, oh, that wasn't love. That wasn't love. I was all in my feelings all the time. I was always hurt and offended. That wasn't love. Oh, they were always jealous. They were always mean, always rude, always critical of me and themselves. That's not love. They were always rude and prideful and domineering and beat me and hurt me and slap me and misuse my heart, abuse me, verbally and mentally abuse me, emotionally abuse me. That's not love. But God is love. God is love. And what threw me then and what still captivates my heart today is that the same God that loved me then still loves me today. So the same God that created you loves you right now where you are. And no matter what you do, no matter whether you choose him or not, he will still love you. And I felt that my acceptance needed to come from people. My identity would come in me conforming to what they wanted me to be so that I would feel comfortable to be around other people so that I could fit in. I started smoking so I could fit in and be accepted by people. I changed so many things about myself until I did not recognize who I was anymore. I lost myself changing so many times for people to make them happy. The same ones that told me I didn't need to change, I changed for. But God knew who I was before I was formed in the womb of my mother. And he made no mistake about that. My identity is found in Christ. And he accepts me for who I am because he knows who I am. He made me. He made you. And he loves you. And you're already accepted by him. There's so much in this, but I'll end this here for today. I just want you to consider the love that you're seeking after. Is it really love? Or is there more? And if there be something else that you feel you're lacking, I dare you to try God. I dare you to try God. So I want to pray with you. If you decide that you want Jesus for yours, if you want to try, give God a try. I just want to pray with you. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I lift up the person who's listening to this message now. no matter where they are, no matter what they're doing. I pray that you will overshadow them with your love, God, that you will cause your love to flood their hearts in an undeniable way, that they will know that what they are experiencing in this moment is nothing but your love, your truth, your peace, your love for them that you've had for them before their mother and father were even born. You love them. Father, I pray that if they're in a situation where they feel alone and abandoned, that they will lean on you, because your word says, when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. God, you will be everything to them that they've ever felt they were lacking. You are that. Let them find their fulfillment in you, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, now I pray with them, if they're deciding to give their lives to you today, you can just repeat after me or make this prayer your own. Dear Lord God, I thank you for giving me life. I repent of my sins, and I ask for you to forgive me, Lord. I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross, and he rose again on the third day for me. Lord, I receive you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Take control of my life. Fill me with your love. Help me to receive your love, all of you, and help me, teach me how to love you back. I thank you for this day, and that I receive you and accept you as my Lord and Savior. Take my life. It's yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. I want you to know that you are deeply loved by God. You are not alone. You are not forsaken. God loves you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.
Till the end, and I will always be.
I'll be alone.
special way. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, just remember this every day.